Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First of my good evening. Welcome to Update on Manx Radio, a 30-minute overview of some of the day's main developments. And tonight, tributes are paid to a director of Swift Motors who died following a road traffic collision last week. We'll have more on that shortly. Also in the programme, there are going to be some changes to parking spaces at the airport from this Friday. UCM marks Learning at Work Week 2025. And can you believe it? It's just a fortnight until TT 2025 gets underway. So we speak to some of those who make the big trip over to compete. All that will have the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email the studio. It's studio@manxradio.com or you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of today's main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The number of patients waiting to be assigned to an NHS dentist list has grown again to 6,254, up more than 100 compared to December. Manxcare says all of its departments are in a good state of readiness ahead of this year's TT. The island's healthcare provider is currently finalising its plans ahead of the busy road racing period, with a formal operational plan for TT due to be signed off on the 19th of May. A new dedicated joint and headache pain relief clinic for private patients is being launched by Hospice Isle of Man, with all revenue being generated from the clinic itself. It's hoped the Crowfoot Clinic will help generate crucial funds. John Knight is the charity's chief executive.
We have to move on from simply appealing to government, please can you give us more money to sustain our services, and we have to be innovative and we have to look ahead and think about how we can generate money using the skills and resources that we have.
The number of standard parking spaces at the Isle of Man Airport are due to be reduced from this Friday. It says 45 spaces are to be reallocated from the long-stay standard area for private use by Athol Garage. And the importance of fostering a culture of lifelong learning in the workplace will be explored at University College Isle of Man as part of Learning at Work Week 2025. It runs from today until the 18th of May. Further afield, the Metropolitan Police says it's investigating a fire at the Prime Minister's house in North London. Emergency services were called to the property in the early hours of this morning. Donald Trump says he doesn't expect tariffs on Chinese imports to return to 145% after a 90-day pause ends. Washington and Beijing agreed to a deal to reduce levies after holding talks in Switzerland over the weekend, with the US president saying he's pleased with the progress made.
The talks in Geneva were very friendly. The relationship is very good. We're not looking to hurt China. China was being hurt very badly.
And commuters in London are facing delays to their journeys after a huge power outage on the London Underground network. There are your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshore Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view DelshoreVehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. 4.5 minutes past five. Let's give you the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. A good story tonight. Largely dry, plenty of sunshine and clear skies overnight and this evening. Light to moderate east or northeast winds. They'll increase to become moderate to fresh tonight. So minimum temperatures will be around 12. And again tomorrow, sunny, mainly light winds, remaining very warm as those afternoon temperatures will rise to 27. Celsius. And the good news, it will remain dry and settled for the rest of this week with some warm, sunny spells. Sunset this evening will be at 10 past 9 and sunrise tomorrow morning will be at 20 past 5. Now, first on Update this evening, some sad news following a road traffic collision in Peel last week. Christian Jones is with us now with some more details about this. Christian, what can you tell us?
First of my Beth, well, like you say, some very sad news because the Isle of Man Constabulary has confirmed that 61-year-old Stephen Hands has died after sustaining life-threatening injuries in a crash on the morning of the 6th of May. Now, the collision happens just after 10:30 at the junction of Glenmore Road and Portan Roads, involving a motorcycle and a white transit connect van. Mr. Hands was flown off island for treatment, but sadly passed away in hospital, and his family have asked for privacy.
Now, I do understand there's an appeal for information.
Yes, so officers are asking anyone who may have witnessed the incident or was travelling in the area at or around the time of the incident to come forward. They're especially keen to hear from the driver of a white van which was heading towards Beleg Bridge from Peel around the time of the crash. Police are also asking people to check any dash cam footage they might have as well and to avoid speculation out of respect for Mr. Hands' family.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Anyone with information is being asked to contact police headquarters. The number is 631212. And over the weekend, tributes were paid to Mr. Hands from the company Swift Motors, which he was a founder of 30 years ago. He's also a current director of that company. You can find out more information at manxradio.com. 6.5 minutes past five, the number of standard parking spaces at the Isle of Man Airport is to be reduced from this Friday. It's as 45 spaces are to be reallocated from the long-stay standard area for private use, as Siobhan reports.
After the change, the total parking capacity will adjust from 590 to 545 spaces, consisting of 162 premium spaces and 383 standard spaces. A new dedicated area is being created for Athol Garage, combining the company's car hire and car valeting operations within one car park. The airport says this will offer greater clarity and convenience for customers arriving at or departing from Ronalds Way. The owner of Athol Garage, David Quayle, said a combined dedicated parking area will enable the company to deliver an even higher level of service and convenience to visitors. He says the company is committed to working closely with the airport to ensure the transition is seamless for customers. The reallocated 45 spaces will soon be branded for Athol Garage car hire and car valeting and will no longer be available for general parking. However, during the transition, a short grace period will be in place while the area is being updated. Interim Airport Director Jeff Pugh added that supporting demand for car rental and valet services is important to them, and they are adapting to better serve both their commercial partners and their passengers. He added this reallocation is part of a broader strategy to continually improve the services and facilities we offer, ensuring the airport remains responsive to evolving customer expectations.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting. 8 minutes past five. Now, Manx Care says all of its departments are in a good state of readiness ahead of this year's TT. A fortnight today it all gets going. The island's healthcare provider is currently finalising its plans ahead of the busy road racing period, as Sian reports.
Ahead of its annual public meeting, Manx Care has confirmed planning for TT has been underway for several months. Manx Care says there are still some final locum posts to fill to support the additional workload, but insists this is not a cause for concern. Talks have been held with Aintree Major Trauma Centre and Walton Centre for Neurosciences, with neither hospital reporting any concerns ahead of the fortnight. Manx Care has also revealed it will be launching a psychosocial response pathway during TT to provide immediate support to spectators, competitors and first responders in the event of a racing incident. It plans to use existing trauma risk management practitioners in Manx Care, the police and other blue light services to provide initial psychosocial support, as well as signposting to services for ongoing support. A formal operational plan for TT is due to be signed off on the 19th of May.
Sian Cowper reporting. Coming up to 10 past five, and a new dedicated joint and headache pain relief clinic for private patients is being launched by Hospice Isle of Man. And it's really hoped the Crowther Clinic will help generate crucial funds. No money raised for the charity will be used to fund it, with all revenue instead being generated from the clinic itself. John Knight is Chief Executive of Hospice.
I think it's well known that the pressures on the voluntary sector, both on the Isle of Man and across the UK, to achieve financial sustainability responsibility. The pressures are ever increasing. And our view at Hospice Isle of Man is that we have to move on from simply appealing to government, please, can you give us more money to sustain our services? And we have to be innovative and we have to look ahead and think about how we can generate money using the skills and resources that we have. So the Crowther Clinic is a direct response to that. It's named in respect of Nadine Crowther, who, of course, is the founder of Hospice Isle of Man and still a much cherished member. So we want to do something very much in respect of her and the history of what she's brought to us. And it's an innovation where we will charge for pain relief through our doctors as a wholly separate income generating centre removed from core hospice care, which remains free at the point of delivery. So not to be confused.
So importantly, no charity funds will be used towards this service.
No, indeed. We're really lucky that we have those skill sets. You know, the doctors, we have the nurses, we have the wonderful facilities. All we will do is turn those towards private pain management. And actually, to be clear, when the doctors are doing that, that is a separate piece of work from their hospice work.
So it stands to reason then, hospice hasn't done anything like this before.
No. And, you know, speaking to many colleagues across the UK who are running hospices, I think we're leading the way, actually. I wouldn't say we're completely unique, but there's only a very small handful of hospices who are operating more commercially and an even smaller group who would be clinically operating more commercially.
Can we have a ballpark about how much these services will cost?
My understanding, and of course I'm not in the clinical team, and depending on the joint or the headache and the injection, I believe it will be somewhere between the lowest £60 to £80 and up to probably £250, depending on the course of medication and the severity of the situation.
That's Chief Executive of Hospice Isle of Man, John Knight, talking to Lewis about the new Crowther Clinic. You can find out more details on our website. 5:12, the importance of fostering a culture of lifelong learning in the workplace is being explored at University College Isle of Man, and it's all part of Learning at Work Week 2025, which gets underway today. It runs until the 18th of May. Simon has the details for us.
Manager of Adult Learning at UCM, Kerry Birchall, says that in the current employment landscape, learning in the workplace has never been more important. The college is seeing a shift in what people and employers want to learn, with a move towards shorter courses, bite-sized learning and micro-learning. The changing workplace environment is driven by technological innovation and changing job requirements. For employers, it highlights the need to prioritise lifelong learning to enable staff to stay relevant and competitive. It also ensures a workforce that will meet future requirements and remain engaged with the organisation. According to Dell Technologies, by 2030, 85% of jobs that will exist have not yet been invented. This, says Kerry, shouldn't be a cause for concern, but it underscores the need to prioritise lifelong learning. As well as selecting upskilling that is directly linked to day-to-day tasks, such as specific computer programs and equipment, there's been a strong emphasis on transferable or soft skills, such as emotional intelligence, resilience, and effective communication. Kerry Birchall says Learning at Work Week is an ideal opportunity to pause, review staff development plans and find ways to foster a culture of lifelong learning. While there's a big desire for online learning, Kerry says it would be wrong to underestimate the value that face-to-face training has, particularly in people-based and more vocational areas.
Simon Richardson reporting. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5:14, so here's an interesting one. Residents in Andreas have reported hearing a loud boom roughly every half hour every day, and it's coming apparently from an area east of the airfield. Now, we have contacted the Home Affairs Department. They weren't able to shed any light on these mystery bangs. I've actually seen some posts this afternoon from somebody in Bald Ryan saying the same thing. So if you live around those areas and you have your own big bang theory, please do feel free to get in touch with us, studio@manxradio.com, or you can text 166177.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Nothing specific to report on the police pages, which is good, but there could be some delays around the Newcastle Town Road between the Springfield Road and Annika Lane junctions because there are traffic lights 24 hours a day there for repairs to a collapsed culvert and wall. In Port St Mary, Four Roads is closed for manhole cover replacement. There are daytime closures continuing on a rolling basis on the Newcastle Town Road from 9:30 to 3:30. Something to look out for from 9:30 tomorrow. As ever, if you spot anything when you're out and about, do let us know if you can do, but all okay. Down down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. The Mananin and the Manxman both making their way into Douglas Harbour and should be here in the next hour.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's just gone 5:15. So the matron, once a key figure in the NHS, is set to return to Nobles Hospital corridors in the coming weeks. Now, this role did fade away over time, but many do believe that was a mistake. Plans have officially been announced today to roll them out once again, as Health Minister Claire Christian explains.
These will be critical positions and are created to deliver improved communication with patients, the public and colleagues, with laser focus on patient family care safety and care effectiveness and patient experience. The roles, Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to say, have been established within the existing financial budgets, just in case anybody also wants to ask that question. And there's been no additional funding required to deliver these critical clinical leadership roles. All 8 clinical roles have direct reporting lines within operational teams and have a clinical professional accountability to the executive director of nursing and allied health professionals. The launch of the matrons is going to be in the next coming weeks, so it's going to be very exciting to see that and to see how they do start to interact with the public in such a wonderful way. I know that's something that we're all used to from the past, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops within Manx Care going forward.
Does the creation of the matrons create a new layer of management, and will an existing layer of management be removed, extended structure, and how many layers will there be between the patient and the matrons?
So when that's rolled out in the next coming weeks, that information can be open to honourable members, and I certainly will make sure that answer is there for the honourable member.
That is the Health Minister Claire Christian answering a question there from Jason Morehouse. Well, that launch happened today. John Moss went along. We'll have much more about it on Breakfast tomorrow. And one of the key things was that this is not another layer of management. This is going to be a visible presence, which is really going to support patients and their families at Nobles Hospital. So all of those questions answered in John's piece tomorrow morning. And the person behind this will actually be on Man in Line tomorrow morning as well. Tomorrow lunchtime, Sheila Lloyd will be with Andy, so you'll be able to ask her any questions that you may have then. We're going to stay with Jason Morehouse because he's worried about how much the proposed onshore wind farm is costing and whether it's still the right choice for the Isle of Man. He's asked for updated figures in the Keys, wanting to know how much has been spent so far and what the final bill could look like. Now, Manx Utilities estimates the Carevi project could cost around £40 million in total, but already more than £3 million has gone on consultancy fees. Mr Morehouse says things are becoming less clear. He wants Comin to hit pause and take a proper look at whether this really is the best way forward.
Even down to basic issues such as the cost of electricity, there's no clarity. You go to the MUA facts website and it's quite clear that the cost of the electricity will be no cheaper, it could be more expensive. When I asked the Chief Minister that question, he was convinced it could be cheaper. And, you know, basic fundamental issues like that leave you asking the question, who's making these decisions? Has it just gone onto autopilot? And the consultants are benefiting most from this.
And why do you think there is such dependence on consultants?
Oh, that is a frustration of mine. And it's one of those things that we seem to have a political culture now, a civil service culture, where decisions can't be made by the postholder. It's got to be done based on an independent report and independent findings. And it is so frustrating that so much money is actually spent on finding these possible solutions to things. It's going to reduce the accountability, but it's also going to improve their credibility in the first instance, that it's not something that's been worked out on the back of an envelope. This is something that has been done by a experienced individual, an experienced company. Often, if it was done in-house, there'd be more questions, there'd be more analysis as the project developed. And I do worry that this is a perfect example of actually saying we'll spend more on the consultants so we can actually justify our position. It's one of those things, we need to actually be pausing the scheme, looking at whether this is realistically the right scheme, rather than just simply plowing forward and thinking next stage is going to be the planning permission, the next stage is going to be this, the next stage is going to be that. The world has changed and we need to actually be looking at whether this is the best scheme in terms of cost, but also in terms of the environment.
That is Jason Morehouse, who is talking to Christian there. Much more on that after Keys tomorrow. Thank you very much to Elle, who's texted to say, I was on Douglas Head for about an hour this afternoon, 2.30 to around 3.30. There were several big booms. Cruise ship visitors were asking what the noises were, and I had no idea. I have to say, I don't think we noticed them here at the station, but interesting that there does seem to be something causing these noises. Again, if you have any experience of them, if you can record it, that would be amazing. 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Now, we're talking TT again because we know Racing Fortnite starts in 2 weeks. But how do you go about preparing for the event when you live on the other side of the world? Well, we've been talking to newcomer Mitch Rees from New Zealand and Dave O'Johnson from Australia about the challenges of coming over here for racing.
It's a little ways to come halfway around the world for it. But yeah, obviously back in New Zealand, we've got a few street races and stuff as well. So that was sort of my entry into, I guess, this world. Three-time New Zealand Superbike champion now and four-time Suzuki Series champion. So
just tell us a little bit about the planning as well, because how do you manage that?
So I guess it starts, you're from New Zealand, it's a long way to do any of that. So for me, obviously I've ended up with the best case scenario with walking into riding for Pagets. So fortunately, obviously with Davey and Pete coming out and giving them a little bit of a riding lesson for the odd race here and there, Davey sort of made that happen with Clive, and obviously with him jumping back on the Pagets bike as well. So obviously it was quite late on the piece, you know, sort of December was when all the talks started, and we sort of went from there.
How excited are you to be part of a team that has so much knowledge and so much experience of a race like this?
It's a big change. I come from home and I do a lot of it between me and myself, and I got a mechanic and my father and stuff like that. So we've sort of steered the ship ourselves, whereas now it's kind of like I'm the rider and I've got these guys supporting me. So, you know, I've had a couple of days testing with them now and they've been absolutely mega.
For me to get a ride, really, there's got to be some financial support that goes with that, because I'm trying to make a living out of it, and it's something that, yeah, it is difficult because I sort of demand a bit more from teams. So it's tough. So that means my results have to always be strong. I have to put pressure on myself to get the results, and without the results, I can't come and do it, really. So it's the pressure of doing it or not doing it, really. So I've just got to make sure I stay mentally and physically ready for what's to come. Last year, I was definitely ready. Like, we're getting stronger every time I rode the bike, and then we had a big crash. So yeah, which wasn't my fault, wasn't the team's fault, it was a mechanical issue. And overcoming that mentally is a big thing. And I feel I've done that, no drama. So I'm ready to come back and be stronger this year.
That's Dave O'Johnson. And before that, Mitch Rees, both talking to Rob Pritchard. Now, an upcoming theatre production is hoping to make a big difference for a local charity. Calendar Girls, a musical. It's a comedy by Gary Barlow and Tim Firth. It's based on the 2003 film of the same name. And later this month, it'll be staged at the Gaiety Theatre by Stage Door Entertainment. All proceeds going to the Big Manx Community Charity. Chrissy Sutcliffe and Lisa Kreisky have been talking to Howard about the production, which they say is a joyous roller coaster of emotion.
Love and female empowerment. And it's just a complete roller coaster of emotion with a fantastic local cast and crew. It's a subject close to our hearts, really. My husband was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2022. He's doing well, but cancer is a wrecking ball that just kind of comes into your life and you just have to get on with it. And we wanted to do it and do some good. And we are donating all proceeds from this fantastic musical to the Big Manx Community Charity. So every penny will go to help people on the Isle of Man.
Did you have a problem finding people who were prepared? I know it's all in the best possible taste, but finding people who were prepared to strip off at the end of the day?
I think probably it says more about us and our group of friends, but but no, we didn't. Everyone was quite up for it. There is, when you're doing something with nudity, it becomes normal very quickly, which I wasn't expecting. But when we did the calendar shoot, it was like, right, okay, come on girls, we're just gonna have to go for it here. And very quickly you realize you're having a chat with someone about, you know, what you're having for tea, and realize that they're completely naked.
Well, and also we are obviously friends and close friends with a lot of the girls in the cast as well, and we created a really fun, safe environment for it anyway. And actually we ended up doing two naked shoots, didn't we? One for the program with kind of, we call them the Naked Six, who are the characters who do the calendar in the show, and the actual calendar with the 12 months was actually with 10 of the ladies. So we felt very, very fortunate that we had such fun individuals involved who you know, even if they were a little bit nervous perhaps about the subject matter, knew the reason that we were doing it was for good and was for this amazing, amazing charity.
That's Lisa Kreisky and Chrissy Sutcliffe both talking to Howard. I wonder why he was so keen to do that one. I've just had a message from Frank and Jan listening at the Point of Air in their motorhome regarding the bangs and booms. They've heard 3 or 4 apparently there this afternoon. And we've had a text from number ending 170 who says there's a gun range in Cumbria that tests heavy guns out to sea, and perhaps that is the cause, or perhaps it could be military aircraft. We will find out. In the meantime, here's Darren with today's sports news.
Good evening. Starting with some TT news. Ireland rider Ryan Kringle has announced he will not compete at this year's TT after picking up a back injury. The TT's best newcomer of 2023 announced the news on social media after fractures to the spinous processors T3, T4 and T5. Kringle was high-sided from his 450 KTM during round 2 of qualifying in the British Supermoto Championship at Teesside Autodrome on Friday. The 31-year-old said he is in a lot of pain and disappointed to find myself in this position just 2 weeks before the start of the event. Elsewhere, FHO Racing has announced they are sponsoring Michael Dunlop ahead of the TT. Confirmation of the news came through a social media post by Dunlop on Sunday the 11th of May as he thanked his sponsors following victories at the Northwest 200 in the past few days. The Northern Irishman won 2 out of 3 races on Thursday and then added to that with another on Saturday following controversial circumstances. FHO's decision to sponsor Dunlop comes after the decision to part ways with Peter Hickman and Davy Todd back in February. In football, and St John's were crowned winners of this year's Ascot Hotel Junior Cup after a dramatic 4-3 extra-time victory over Rushden United at the Ball. Meanwhile, champions Peel were presented with the Canada Life Premier League trophy after a 2-2 draw with Foxtel in their final game of the season. Foxtel, however, still have one fixture left as they face Ayr tomorrow night at Billygoat Park. And the second weekend of the cricket season was played at the weekend. Cronkbourne continued their winning start as they beat Finch Hill by 105 runs to go top of the weekend T20 Premier. Meanwhile, in Division 1, Castletown also have had the best start with 2 wins after 2 so far by beating Valkers 4 by 4 wickets on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Well, that is pretty much all from Update this evening. Thank you to everybody who's messaging in about those big booms. The mystery deepens with this one. We are trying to find out exactly what they are, but do keep those text messages coming in. It'd be great to get a sort of an idea of exactly where those noises are being heard. Coming up next on Manx Radio, it's Agenda with Phil Gorn, a look ahead to all things legislative, talking about energy things tonight. Chris Kinney will then be back with Greatest Hits from 6 p.m. all the way back from the Northwest 200 where he was last week. Ian Cottier has got Time for Brass for you from 9, and then Dave Moore is with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Hope you can get some sunshine. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.